Welcome to the Soccer Central Podcast.
Good Monday to you, February the 6th. James Sharman here. It is the Soccer Central Podcast. Joined today by Thomas Dobby.
Hello, James.
It's been a while.
Yeah. I was going to call in sick the day after the Super Bowl, but...
You did that last year.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Did I?
Yeah.
No way.
You did.
No way.
Yep.
The day after the Super Bowl.
Yep.
I can't...
Morning of, it was a very apologetic, sorry guys, can't make it in.
I'm too hungover.
Too hungover.
Oh my God. Wow.
So I was expecting one today, actually.
Really? Well, he's been that would have been ridiculous.
Maybe he drank his face off the last week on vacation and he didn't go quite as hard last night.
Yeah. I did exactly that. Yeah, I drank my face off for a week, and then I didn't go quite as hard last night. But calling in sick today would be like, in this industry especially, absolutely criminal.
Day of the Super Bowl. I think you actually made your actual job.
Oh, I definitely made the job. Yeah,
just the whole thought of a 10 a.m. call for the podcast was unpalatable.
Yeah, I think so. Sounds about right. That's terrible, though. It's embarrassing.
Brendan Dunlop isn't here. He's going to apparently show up at some point. He's late.
He'll be here in like 2 minutes.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. And I said, if you're going to be late, at least bring me a coffee. So we'll see if he does or not.
Yeah. And the roll up the rim is his, apparently.
That's what he said. Yeah. But that's not legally binding. Just because he texted me saying, yeah, okay, but if you
just
win
delete
something,
the text.
It's mine.
Yeah. And when you win the car, you're good.
You try and get this rim off me. It'd be quite the rim job.
Yeah. If you kept the prize.
Right. If I, that'd be quite the prize in itself. Hey, look what I won. I won a rim job.
Is that the dark roast? All right.
Yeah. We'll get to the soccer very shortly, but as someone that generally despises NFL football, I have to say it was quite fun last night.
Yeah, so you watched the game? Yes.
I did.
Had a Super Bowl party? Or
no, well, yeah.
Just quiet
rookie mistake. I made plans weeks ago with my family, my parents, and some extended family. Have a little bash at our place. Uh-huh. Nothing related to the Super Bowl.
Really?
And then I found out, like, oh crap,
that's the Super Bowl.
Yeah, so I blew it, but I still managed to watch it and drink beer.
Yeah, that's decent.
So it was. I got to say though, and it's been discussed today. And listen, I'm not saying that the Falcons should be aggrieved because the rules. They understand the rules, but the whole overtime concept is ludicrous.
Yeah,
it has to be changed.
It's gonna probably get revised at some point. I mean, I know it's been for a while now. The college system just works so much better. I mean, both
Each
teams getting
team
the ball.
The ball
and,
right? Yeah.
You know, they did obviously revise the NFL one pretty recently to make it so that each team gets the ball unless there's that touchdown first. And then, of course, in the Super Bowl, the first ever overtime in a Super Bowl, that happens. So, yeah, I think they probably will look at it someday soon to change that because that was rough. But, yeah, the Falcons, they blew it.
I was thinking about Tom Brady, and he you know what he is now? He is David Beckham if Beckham was the greatest player of all time, right? Because, I mean, he's got the lifestyle and his pictures everywhere.
Yeah.
He almost transcends the sport in some ways, right? He's becoming what Beckham was. Just he can back it up with
championships.
And listen, Beckham was a great, great player, but he was never the best player in the world.
Yeah.
Whereas clearly Brady is.
Yeah.
So, he is like the new Beckham, I guess.
There you go.
So that means Giselle is posh.
She is pretty posh.
She is posh.
Yeah. That works nicely.
Yeah, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That's the thing I thought of.
Good one.
Quite a good weekend of soccer, eh? Like, my God, some of these results, you know, it really is Chelsea's to lose at this point. And it was before this game. They beat Arsenal 3-1. Talk about a statement game. A very, very good performance. The Gunners, for the second time in a week, they lose. They lost at Watford, of course, midweek. But this being Arsenal, I didn't think an Arsenal win would be out of the question because they often do that. Terrible performance, great performance, but this was a very average performance again. And Chelsea now, they won 9 straight games at home, 27 goals for, 4 against in that span. They are as close to being unbeatable, it seems, right now, as we've seen.
Yeah, they're a juggernaut. And I mean, the scary thing for the teams behind them, although... You know, they keep dropping their own points and you know, the gap keeps widening. The only team really to keep up this week was Spurs at Man City as well. But, you know, with Liverpool also dropping points, it's the chasm that's starting to build and the games disappearing on them. You think, well, Chelsea are going to have to, you know, drop 18 points or so for these teams to have any shot. And that's just not going to happen. So that's, you know, you don't want to say it's over in February, but... At this point, barring a crushing injury to Chelsea or something cataclysmal happening, they're going to be just fine, and they're going to win the title. And you know, the fact that they didn't have Europe to focus on in Champions League and the league, I mean, it's just all fallen into place, and everyone around them has so many problems. And you look at how impressive they look week after week, and how driven Conte has them, and how, you know, it seems machine-like at this point. I just can't see anyone having a chance to trip them up.
Danny Duccio said it on Saturday, and he goes, he hates saying that teams take on their coach's identity, but they really have. That is Conte. The way he played the game, that is very much Chelsea.
Yeah.
They don't give up. They're at you all the time.
Absolutely. I mean, you saw it. And for some reason, Arsenal seemed surprised by that. You know, they would be boxed in and closed down early on, and they just seemed like they thought they'd have more time on the ball. Well, if you've watched Chelsea, since they last played, though, I mean, to be fair, Arsenal did that to them back in September, I believe it was.
24th, yeah, September.
You know, and they had a 3-goal lead by the 35-minute mark or so, and they were doing the same to Chelsea and pressing them, and, you know, just the world of difference. And everyone, of course, always talks about the change in system that happened, you know, in the second half of that game and what has spurred them on, and we all kind of know about that at this point. But just the mentality and how different it is from Arsenal did that to them in September, and now Chelsea completely turned the tables on them and were able to turn them over in that way.
It seems like Arsenal was the catalyst, right, for this change.
Yeah.
And they are probably the biggest victims of it as well.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a lot of people thought, well, this is probably the last chance for Arsenal. And looking at the teams this year, this might be their best chance in a while, given how they finished last season.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, here we are once again talking about the same issues with Arsenal. The character. Have they got the drive, the belief? What's the mentality? Wenger said after Watford last week, we had the wrong mentality. You had the wrong mentality? How is that possible?
How is that possible? And who is that on?
Yeah.
Is that not on him? Is that not on the manager?
Absolutely is. Yeah. Yeah. Well, look, it's just wandered in with my coffee. Oh. You are forgiven, sunshine. Thank you very much.
Check out the rim job.
Let's see what I want here. All right.
All right, punters. Let's have a look.
All right, hang on. I'm going to spill it everywhere here. This is great radio right now.
Very good.
Oh, my little, you were very thoughtful and gave me a little sleeve because it was a hot coffee. And the sleeve is jammed.
It's cold now for sure. You guys are really bad at this radio game because the second I walk in the door, you stop your incredible analysis.
Yeah.
Well, I have to find a seat that has an armrest and take the coat off. I mean,
it's okay. It wasn't really incredible analysis. We're just talking about Arsenal, actually. We talked about the Super Bowl for a minute. Mm-hmm. And now we're just talking about Arsenal and whose fault it is that Wenger said after the Watford loss that the team didn't have the right mentality.
Yes. Yeah.
And you start to think, is that not on the manager to make sure that the team has the right mentality?
Well, it's got
to
be on the media, right?
Yeah. I mean, they were coming off a 5-0 win at Southampton in the FA Cup. And, you know, that Watford loss, no one's surprised they lost at Chelsea, but that Watford loss is just so damning. And
I won a rim job.
Oh, yes. Didn't
I did. Sorry, Brendan wins a rim job. I won nothing.
Okay. Please play again.
Yeah.
I do like the throwback look. I feel like I'm hosting this podcast with Sports World's James Charles.
That's a good point, actually. I didn't even realize that. I think, actually, I'm wearing a black V-neck sweater with a gray shirt underneath it.
Yeah.
And actually, like this, I definitely wore this sweater on the footy show.
Oh, yeah.
Okay?
On the couch. I'm pretty sure
punters
wore that black and white checkered shirt on the
probably.
Show back in the day, too.
Or something like it, because we had the same stylist and we were only allowed to wear plaid.
Yeah.
If you were under 30 at the time, plaid was the good
plaid thing. Was the thing.
Yep.
The good old days, boys? Reminiscing.
Did I miss the Columbia talk, though?
We didn't really talk about it.
We alluded to the fact that Dobby's back from vacation.
And he was surprised that I'm here and didn't call in, because last year after the Super Bowl, apparently I called and didn't do the podcast.
Remember that?
It makes sense. That was actually the bet that we weren't going to do this because
we were pretty confident that you weren't going to make it.
Damn it.
But
I am. I made
it. Back to what we're discussing here and the Arsenal-Chelsea game and the Gunners. Do you see Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain? He liked a tweet that was calling for Wenger to be fired.
Oh, no.
And he's come out and apologized, saying, I don't know how it happened.
Steven Stamkos all over again.
Exactly. Eh? Stamkos to the Leafs, right? How did that work out? And you wonder, of all the tweets that you know, Oxlade-Chamberlain receives, and he doesn't like that many, but this happened. Was it a coincidence? Was it an accident? Or do you think is there's some issues there between the players and the older professor?
I know that it can certainly happen as an accident. Have you not done it before when you're literally scrolling through the page, but because the thumb is so sensitive and you happen to scroll over that?
That's how I ended
area?
Up following you, I think, actually.
Is still having me unfollow him? So when I block somebody and they call me on it, I can just say, oh no, I was actually scrolling and you know the thumb. Well,
how would they call you on it? Two-step
process. How would they call you on it if you block them because they can't reach out to you?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Unless you know them.
Yeah, unless you know them, yeah.
Just say you blocked Dunlop.
Yeah. No, exactly. That's kind of what I was talking about.
I bet you you've honestly done it, though. I bet you
Yeah, probably, yeah.
It is possible.
An accidental like.
Incredibly easy. You just, you know, put your thumb down to scroll through the page.
Damn it.
And if it wasn't by accident, I mean, these guys just have to get a clue that everything is going to be seen. I mean, you can't slide one by somebody here. I mean, these things are going to be seen. Look at Pablo Sandoval was liking pictures on Instagram while taking a dump in the Red Sox clubhouse this year. And people will call him and looking at the time and be that was during the game. And like, he was in the, like, everything is seen, time is seen. I mean, don't do anything on social media that could come back to haunt you, because if that's not an accident, I mean, someone's going to see that. People have too much time on their hands. People are looking for those kind of things.
They want a reason to come down hard on you, right?
Absolutely.
They're looking for a reason. See, last week, Paul Pogba and Jesse Lingard, they were dancing in the locker room, right? Some kind of weird dance, right? And it was filmed, and then it was posted on, I think, Instagram, I think it was. And Rio Ferdinand comes out and attacks him. Oh, you know, you're in sixth place. You shouldn't be doing this. It's a disgrace. And it's like, you know what? The fact they danced and having fun is not a disgrace.
Yeah.
These are young guys. It happens in every single locker room. Yeah. But why would you post it?
Yeah.
Why? Just optically, use your brains, people.
And it's like Antonio Brown filming the Facebook Live again to go to another sport, but just idiotic behavior that, you know, just is going to get you in trouble with your teammates, get you in trouble with your coach, is going to put a bad light on you. For what reason? I mean, to not have the foresight or the knowledge to think that this probably isn't a good idea to be filming this live to the world right now. I mean, some people just don't get it, and they come up in this social media world and this craze where it's so important. And I think that, you know, it's just taken over so much, and we're lucky in a sense to have kind of been in around before it got nuts, so we remember that. But
it's
I feel like the younger people,
right?
This generation,
they've been born into this essentially, right?
I feel like such an old man here.
Brainwashed. You guys are in your 30s now, right? You're 30 now, right? Aren't you? Yeah, you'll be 30. So we are old. I'm older. But you know, you're not kids 16, 17 now. That they've been born into this kind of generation.
It's not real if it didn't happen on
social media. Generation,
yeah,
right? It's
scary.
Just different.
I would be so happy in a world that didn't have social media.
Do you ever think about getting off it entirely?
Yep.
Yeah,
I think, absolutely. I think if I had a different profession, I might use Facebook simply to connect with people from the past, and that's it. I do still see a lot of value in Twitter. This is something that frustrates me when you have the social media conversation, and I hear people advocate for Snapchat, and this is the future. Mm. People tell me, well, your social media game is weak, bro, and you've got to get on Periscope. Man, shut up.
I know.
Yeah.
Twitter, I think, still has some news value, but it's a shame that Twitter is nowhere near as engaging and as interactive as it was when we started the footy show and did the interactive days when I was running the page and the blog. That was great.
I also
had 1,000 followers and would have 1,000 different conversations in a week. Now I might have 100 in a year.
Yeah.
I know. Dropped down.
It does. Sure. And like, I've done the roller coaster too, where I was thinking last night during the Super Bowl, because I was barely went on Twitter during the game, and I was, because, you know, I'm there at a party with my friends and fam, and I'm like, I don't want to be on it, but I'm like, a couple of years ago I would have been like, I have to be following what's going on, what everyone's thinking, and now I'm like, you know what, like, I'll see the important ones later, I'll check it out later, but I don't need to be doing it as the game is going. I'm just gonna sit here and enjoy the game, and I'm glad I've gotten back to that, you know what I mean, because you get so in ingrained and invested in it. Like, I have to do this. You don't even end up watching the game just wondering what people are tweeting. It's ridiculous.
I definitely got to a point where I have to prioritize the game.
Yeah.
One particular game, because, you know, what it's like to watch it at 10 o'clock and you're trying to take in as many matches as possible. Plus, it's not like the old days where we could just watch, you know, five games, sit there all Saturday and watch five games back to back to back. I have to actually put the phone down and pause.
Absolutely.
I'm just going to focus on this because
Absolutely.
You get lost.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, you're reading about another sport.
Try listening to Sheffield United at the same time as those five games too. Even worse. It's crazy.
Yeah, I used to certainly tweet a lot more. I tweeted a couple this morning and I haven't been that active on Twitter for a long time.
Yeah.
I rarely tweet now. And it's good for news still. I still like it for that. But yeah, there's so much bull out there.
Yeah.
People's opinions think that it's their little platform. And I don't really care about your opinion in most cases. I must say, though, I'm getting a lot less hate.
Yeah.
I haven't had hate for ages. Mm. I think there must be some kind of Twitter algorithm or something. You know, I mean, I know Twitter are making efforts to cut out.
There's a lot more crap in the world for people to get riled up and complain about these days, probably.
Well, you'd think so, right? But some of these morons, I mean, their life so just revolves around sport, right? But far less. Do you still get hate?
Yeah, I would say, though, overall, it's probably less.
Yeah.
I think it's a combination of what Dobby said and the fact that there's so much more out there. You know, you used to just be consuming one show, one soccer show, or one episode of Central or Connected or whatever. Whereas now, if there's something that you hate, you almost have to prioritize where you distribute your hate.
Yeah, that's right. You manage your hate. There's only so much hate you can actually espouse.
So much hate to go around.
It helps when you're on at 1 a.m. I think the hate is minimized basically by the time slot. If I was doing the poor desk shift.
True, you're right. You're right. But again, if you're a professional athlete now, I don't know why you'd be on it. Because, I mean, these guys get hate. They get just hammered. I mean,
yeah.
If you're a Crystal Palace player right now, why would you be on
Twitter? Yeah, it makes little sense. If I was a professional athlete, I mean, I guess for when the times are good or when you want to, you know, slide into the DMs, as it were, with some young ladies. But yeah, you don't want to be on there, I don't think, most of the time.
Although, I mean, look at Paul Pogba, for example. He's got his own emoji now, right? Now that emoji's on his boots. Mm. So his people outside United, his people are probably, you have to be active.
Yeah.
You have
sure.
to get your face out there. This is part of your branding exercise,
marketable,
right?
Yeah.
Market yourself.
It's purely for that reason. And I mean, you know, we've been around athletes who are thinking about their post-playing career. It seems like a bit early to our standards, certainly before they're old, and they get caught up in it and lost. And this is before the age of social media. And I think that that's absolutely the reason that they prioritize it now, because they think the only way I'm going to be able to earn six-figure, if not seven-figure paychecks when I'm done playing is by having a huge brand where I can do something else. And Rio Ferdinand's a great example of that. He built his Five brand, and you know, he's got the restaurants and the magazine, and now he's on every network. He must have the best freelance agent in all of England.
And Rio, are you telling me that if Twitter and, you know, all this was around when he was a younger player, you telling me he wouldn't have been on it?
Yeah,
he would have been all over it, right? He would have been posting pictures of himself dancing with Roy Keane.
Absolutely, he's been a.
Who would Rio be dancing with? If it's Jesse Lingard and Pogba, if it's Rio Ferdinand.
Ferdinand and Vidic,
That nice Serbian folk jingle. I can just picture them going arm in arm, swinging back and forth.
Yeah, like a Serbian wedding, you know?
Be amazing.
Yeah.
Back to Wenger, though. We discussed this topic for probably, 10 years now? Probably?
Oh, my gosh.
Is it time?
Is this time? Yeah.
And even he is saying now he'll leave it to his gut to tell him whether he'll re-sign following this season, but it is time, isn't it? I know he's not on the sidelines right now with that ban, but he doesn't seem to be embracing it like he once did.
No, and I mean,
he's beaten.
We've said this again for years. I think it's been the same conversation. It's just, what is their goal and their ambition? I mean, if you want to finish top four every year, well, you know that Wenger's going to deliver that and keep bringing the Champions League money and keep selling the shirts. And, you know, they've started to spend some money in recent years where they've brought in the players. And if that's what you want, okay. But if you want to try to refresh this team and bring in a new mentality, a new vision from a top manager that could maybe put you over the top and have you challenge, and again, back-to-back, this year maybe with Chelsea it would be difficult, but last year there was such an opportunity, and you know, to actually challenge for a title, I think they need a new voice. And I know that, you know, a lot of Arsenal fans feel the same, and I think that's growing and growing as this season develops for sure.
I had a tweet someone was mentioning about Arsenal and the lack of, you know, money being spent, and how, you know, they should have spent the money and got N'Golo Kanté in the off season. And I read that and I understand what they were saying, but at the same time, I think they probably did try and get N'Golo Kanté.
Didn't they spend the same money for Granit Xhaka?
More money, in fact. But it's just because that they maybe he didn't want to go to Arsenal.
Yeah.
Right? He couldn't just, oh, they should have signed him. Well, he had a choice as well.
Yeah.
Right? And perhaps they were prepared to spend the money on him. They couldn't get him. So they got a Xhaka instead. So I think it's a little bit unfair in that regard. You know, you can't just pick and choose who you sign.
Yeah.
That's certainly that they've been dormant in the transfer market for too long. I understand that. But, you know, of course Kante would look good in an Arsenal uniform, but he's looking good in any uniform right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
What's that stat I saw? He has more tackles in the last 3 years out of all footballers.
Yeah.
But he's played 2 years.
Right.
That's unbelievable.
He's and so good, isn't he?
He's so good to watch. I mean, especially in that match. There was a good stretch where I probably, because I didn't check Twitter, which is why I watched him on and off the ball. Just try to isolate watching him play. And my goodness, like, he reads the game quicker than anybody. And he steps into balls that you'd think no one would have a chance to. And he's hardly ever wrong.
Yeah.
He hardly ever gets beat and makes a mistake.
And what he does, I mean, by being that guy and that, you know, pivot, not only does he break up the play, but he starts so many of their counterattacks too, right? Because, you know, guys, Arsenal think that they're breaking. He somehow gets in there, makes the tackle, and then a quick outlet, and off Hazard goes, who's in another world right now, the way that he's playing. So it's what makes Chelsea so, so dangerous and just protects that, you know, back line that I didn't think were that good. And no. You know, all of a sudden, they just don't get exposed because they're so, you know, little, there's so few breaks, odd man rushes against them, as it were. You know, Luiz and Cahill and whoever else plugged in that back line game to game are just, they're shielded.
It's the reconstruction of Gary Cahill. Not only is he stung every game, but he's captain now as well.
Yeah.
A year ago, he couldn't get in the team. You know, he's really fit so well in that system. Then you got, you know, Alonso, who's a bit of a journeyman himself, looking great in the left wing back spot. You got Moses in the right, you know, another journeyman who kind of thought, you know, was done.
Yeah.
You know, he'll settle into a lower team in a lower division, maybe at some. He's a star. He's incredible. You see their heat maps? You seen the heat maps in Chelsea games?
Those, where they run.
You know what they do, right? Yeah. It's pretty straightforward, right? But no one can get around them. No one can beat them.
Marcus Alonso passed his initiation, though. To be a proper Chelsea defender, you have to knock out the opposition at some point.
Boy, that, you know,
that
I
was scary.
That should have been whistled.
Oh, yeah.
Right, don't you think?
Don't you think? I don't think it was a goal.
No, what I'm saying, it should have been whistled. Yeah. At the very least, I don't think it was a malicious per se, but it was reckless.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't have been a goal. I agree.
I think the point, the broadcast, anywhere else on the pitch, that's a foul.
Yeah, and if that was on the keeper, right, it would have been
for sure a foul.
100%. In real time, the live, I didn't think so, but then after you saw it, it would have been stunning if they had blown that up and been able to spot that on the live. It would have been tough.
Yeah, because everyone like, just, I mean, it is a contact sport. Yeah. Two guys going for the ball, right?
Yeah, and, I was fine with it, but I get the argument why some people would think it should be called off.
But at what point do you use injury to influence your decision? Mm. So I know at the speed, and I agree with you, it looked like a real hard collision. They both went for it. It's almost one of those situations you want to see. You want to see both guys risk it and hopefully come out of it clean. But really go for it. But then the official comes over and can see Bellerin's counting his own fingers. And he's looking in two different directions.
But I wasn't sure he'd be going off, were you? Because you see it a lot. He's fine, shake it off. But I was happy to see him go off.
And I just think that there's so, in soccer in general, they're so behind when it comes to concussion protocol and CTE in general.
Yeah,
they ridiculous. Just don't have the same urgency and systems that we've
employed
here.
There's going to be a lawsuit at some point, a big lawsuit.
Yeah. I mean, you see how...
And that could change the whole, what the game is. I mean, heading the ball could be, you know, looked at certainly. Certainly in the lower age groups.
You see how hockey's changing quickly now and making it a priority as it should in NFL, obviously. And I think that, it's like football. The dark ages in European game that just really needs to be discussed and prioritized soon.
There was so much talk during the Super Bowl week because there was nothing to talk about up until the game. It was the most boring of Super Bowl weeks, but about the youth game. And there was a lot of advocates for the youth game. I heard on radio and that talking about how it's still safe and all these things that they want to do and try and make it safer. And it's like, but they're eight and they're still hitting each other. Yeah. And I remember when we played minor hockey, it was only until probably age 10 where around that age they instituted, okay, you're not checking until 14.
Yeah.
Whereas prior you were checking at 7.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a terrible story I read recently about a high school kid suffered CTE.
Yeah.
And killed himself in his late teens.
Oh no.
And numerous concussions playing high school football. It's certainly a real, very real thing. Jeff D. Salisbury asks, is Eden Hazard the best creative attacker in the Premier League right now? That goal, I know you can criticize defending, right? But that goal was incredible. It was like Maradona 86 against England. It was amazing.
Picking it up on his own side of half and just the balance as well, right? I mean, with tackles coming
and
in.
Staying on his feet amazingly for Hazard.
Yeah, absolutely. Most surprising. You know, just riding the tackles, just the balance to be able to do that. It was a phenomenal goal. Yeah.
A few goals that they'd scored, Chelsea, when they just got Fab. Mm. And it was like Fab, Costa, maybe Hazard. And they were, do you remember the one-touch passes? And they would rate these goals and they looked like Barcelona? That's exactly what I thought. You could easily just blink and that shirt would change. And it would look like he's running like Messi or next to Messi.
Yeah.
It's a great goal.
Yeah, it'd be fascinating to see who replaces Costa next season. Yeah. He's definitely going to China.
Aguero.
Definitely.
Aguero can't get in the team. It's fine. Oh,
man. Yeah, well, City looked pretty good yesterday, beating Swansea 2-1. Aguero on the bench again. Jesus scores. Once again, looks really good.
Jesus saves.
Yeah, do you roll with only people from the islands? Because your Portuguese accent is like incredibly specific.
I'm a big fan of Angola.
Well, you'd actually never sound so Northern English than when you speak Portuguese. But it's good. I appreciate you trying.
But Jesus isn't bad, is it? Jesus?
No, it's not bad at all. It's just the way you have to construct your face. I actually have to pause.
You have to shape it.
Absolutely. Remember our good friend Thomas Rongen?
George Jesus.
But to his credit, he would always attempt to say it correctly. He never started with George Jesus. He would always end there just because he felt like he was an idiot and couldn't get it out. Your boy, George Jesus.
But he would lose me before then with the Champions League, the Championship League.
Gabe Jesus, though, what a start, eh?
Yeah, that was Jesus, 3-2?
Yeah, 3-2. I mean, the fact that I think that the point was made somewhere on the broadcast or around it yesterday, and I thought it was a great point that just, you know, Guardiola was getting skewered for some of his decisions earlier on in the season. And I mean, you got to give him credit for doing what he thinks and not worrying what the fallout's going to be.
Yeah.
Right?
We saw that with Joe Hart.
No, Guardiola's not on Twitter. We saw that with Joe Hart. You know, we've seen that with some other decisions. We saw that with Toure. And then bringing him back. And he's not afraid to go back on these or either change his mind like he did with Toure. And, you know, now with Aguero, to think that you would sit a healthy Aguero for anybody right now in the game is staggering. But the fact that Jesus has come in and been so good, it looks like a great decision. And it looks like the right thing for the team. You can't argue with the results. And to have the balls, for lack of a better term, to sit Aguero down at this point in his career because he doesn't fit your system and for the long-term future of the club, you think this is the right move, you have to give him credit for being able to do that. It's impressive.
And dropping Bravo, finally.
Yeah.
I can't see him getting back in there, can you, at this point?
He's
got one save in 2017.
I know, it's unbelievable.
That's an amazing stat.
Last six shots he's faced have been goals. Right? You could put me in goal, right, at this point.
Yeah.
I'd be no worse than Claudio Bravo.
Well, I did see once, and I think my team had about 8 shots. You stopped 2 of mine, and the rest of the other six went in.
That's about right. Rolled in.
Yeah, through my legs.
I was doing one of the shows when you were away with Craig, and he could not say Bravo's name without smiling.
Oh, he hates laughing. Bravo.
Well, just the idea.
That's a strong word. He disrespects Bravo. And the decision about a goalkeeper who's good with his feet but can't save the ball, it's an issue. Very average goalkeeper.
Not a shot stopper.
And you're Willie Caballero. What more can you do, too? I mean, look at his record.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
But good goalkeeper.
But hold on. Did we always label Claudio Bravo an average goalkeeper?
Because well, it was hard at Barcelona because what's he being tested
with? But to get the move to go to Barcelona, none of us said, oh, I don't know about that. We all thought, oh, yeah, good on him.
But at the same time, we're always wondering, but they didn't get rid of Ter Stegen. Both guys there, so they didn't rely on just one. Right. We don't really trust this guy 100%, but we got a really good guy.
Right.
And I know fans of Chile, who obviously wonderful couple of years for them, but they've always said he's not a world-class goalkeeper, right? He does the job. And, you know, it's a good enough team that can still win championships. Mm-hmm. But obviously he's not what we thought he was, and you've got to be a shot stopper. In the Premier League too, you've got to be very physical.
Yeah.
He's not a big goalkeeper by any stretch. So I think he's done.
Yeah, we saw it right away with his first couple games. It was just, oh, it'll change. But he wasn't ready for it for some reason. And he's not a keeper that is going to be a Premier League stalwart, that's for sure.
Yeah, he's not going to be a Simone Mignolet or a Loris Karius. Holy crap, Liverpool.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Hull. They good might for Hull, by the way. Marcus Silva. Wonderful story so far.
Unbelievable.
Right? 7 points in 4 league games. In the previous 18, they had 7 points.
Yeah, and the fact that they've done it with losing a pile of very good players. I mean, Snodgrass, that for me, when they sold him, I thought, well, that's them done then.
But they made some interesting signings, though.
Yeah, they did.
And Grzeszczyk's a good signing.
Yeah, and, you know, to Nias, even, who scored the second goal. I mean, they've kind of picked from places where, you know, Nias came over as a pretty big money move to Everton from Russia, and he was terrible there, but he couldn't really get in the team, and they gave up on him pretty quick. And, you know, there's some guys that they signed that have a bit of a chip on their shoulder that maybe have something to prove, and I think that there's really nothing to lose there. I mean, this is a group of kind of misfits now and a team that everyone expects to go down, and they have a thin squad, and I really don't think there's a ton of pressure on them, because by the way that they went about their business, I feel like it's almost they've resigned themselves to relegation, and if they're able to stay up, this team would be heroes to the fans. So I think that bodes well for them, because unlike teams like Sunderland and Palace, where they expect to stay up, and if they go down, it's a disaster and the players will be vilified. This is a bit of a different angle on this one.
In some ways, yeah. For a team like Hull, it's not always the worst thing to be relegated.
Yeah.
Get some contracts off the books, kind of start to build again, or it can be a disaster. Mm-hmm. And we've seen that with a lot of teams, you know, sinking lower and lower and lower. And certainly before the year began, the very thin squad, ownership issues. They signed a rookie coach in Mike Phelan, essentially, and it didn't work out. But right now, it's looking pretty good at the moment, and good for them.
Taking a while to feel their way out of things, but if Marco Silva is your new favorite Portugueser, I will not be offended.
I like him a lot, man. He's just a nice guy.
Me too.
A nice guy.
Very nice guy.
Yeah, great English.
And confident, too, and smart.
Respected by the other managers, and yeah, I mean, I think he's...
English TV pundits now, too. Former players have to wake up.
Yeah, and he's, you know, he's got them defensively drilled pretty well. I mean, back-to-back clean sheets against Liverpool and Man United midweek. You know, that's impressive to good old Trafford. And obviously, they've played Man United a billion times in the last month or so with the League Cup and everything. And
honestly, I felt every time I looked at the TV,
I think they played 4 times in about 3 weeks. So,
Spurs fans should be really excited watching Hull right now, because when Mauricio Pochettino goes to PSG and Marco Silva goes to White Hart Lane, what's going to be magic?
Yeah. Nope. Then again, you're playing a really poor team in Liverpool, right?
In Liverpool, yeah. So
lost 5 of 8, winless in 5.
My God.
And, you know, these teams, they can't handle teams like Hull or Swansea beat them. I think Palace beat them, or Burnley early. You know, when you play a certain style, you sit back, you know, they lack some creativity. They really do. I mean, where this team was before Christmas... What has happened
there? We always knew the defensive issues, but now it's the fact they can't find the net, and it really is strange to think, because that, and is it really all the blame just because Mane went to the African Cup of Nations for a bit? A lot of people were talking about, oh, well, when he's back, and
that surprised me too. Like when people say the Raptors are losing games because Patrick Patterson's injured.
Yeah, it's a great comparison.
Really? Like, not to take away, I think Patterson's great, and I think that Mane's great. You can't look at that and say this team's not deep enough to deal with missing that one player. Is he even the best player on that team?
No,
he's looked it in stretches.
He's certainly up there. He's a very, very good player, and they are better with him. But he's back now, right? And he started in the weekend.
He started,
and still lost, so.
Yeah. And but Coutinho has been back from injury for a little while.
He doesn't look a bit rusty right now.
He does look rusty still, and that's a big problem. And
Chinese rumors in his ear.
Yeah, no, he says he's loyal to. He has no interest in going there. But we'll see.
He just re-upped, right?
Yeah,
he did.
Did he double it?
5-year deal.
I think it was a big...
It was, he's up there, I think, around 200,000 a week. So he's definitely up there with the top
it's
players.
It's amazing how little those contracts mean. They were just like, it doesn't really matter.
They just do it for the buyout clauses.
Yeah. But yeah, those issues. I think they'll turn it around, but that top four race right now is so, so close. City now back in there, of course.
Yeah, it's
And United a point back of
United's
Liverpool.
Right there, and the way that they're playing, I mean, you have to think United are favorites to get in that
3-0 winners
four.
Against Leicester.
That
one loss in 21 games.
Yeah, and that loss was to Hull in a not a dead rubber. I mean, they lost the game, but they still went through, right, in the League Cup. So
Ibra's 15 goals.
Yeah.
35 years of age. Eh? That's a new record.
Yeah, unreal. First guy to ever do it,
I
right?
think I said we did the preseason pod and talked about him coming and, you know, how we were excited, but is this really what they need? Can he do it? And I said I think he'd bag 15 by the spring.
Yeah. I said he'd be the top goal scorer actually in the league.
You did?
Yeah. Along with Man United to win the league. So
It's great.
But preseason, that's not a horrible shout.
The tactical geeks out there do still say, you know, yeah, he's great and you can't knock him. He's doing everything that's been asked of him. Uh-huh. But they are far slower in attack with him there, obviously,
yeah,
compared to some other teams.
And he's also not a long-term solution.
No, he's not.
I mean, for this year, it's great. Plug him in. He's going to score his goals and all that. But, you know, they need to have guys like Lingard and Rashford kind of be the guys and pretty soon, right, and develop them into the long-term option.
You mentioned that. He'd kind of be the perfect guy to come in there.
Yeah, he would be the perfect guy.
I was excited, though, yesterday when 4-4-2 to start the game with Rashford alongside. Oh, but that's amazing. Then, 15 minutes in? No, didn't work out. It switched back to what we know.
Yeah,
obviously.
I think that the Mata and Mkhitaryan, obviously both scoring, but both were just very good in that game and instrumental. And those were guys that at the beginning of the season were terribly out of favor. Obviously, we know Mkhitaryan couldn't get in the team for months, and Mata was in and out, and we thought he'd be leaving. And, you know, the fact that these guys have kind of come full circle, it just shows the depth of that squad. I mean, you talk about the lack of depth in others, but they could field two teams every week that are strong. I mean, for their problems and for the difficulty in finding the right 11 and, you know, took time to find their form. This is a very deep team with tons of options that, you know, it will help them going forward with more fixtures coming with Europa League and a League Cup final. I mean, they have the depth of squad to handle all those games and still make that charge. And I think they'll get into that top four quite easily in the end.
It is the race for second, though, at this point. And we had the big question was, who is the favorite for second place? And the people voted in Spurs was the pick. And right now they're in second place. And they won yesterday against Middlesbrough 1-0. They've got some injury concerns, but they've got some depth as well. Perhaps not so much up front, but on defense, no Rose, no Vertonghen, but get a clean sheet against Borough. And I think your Tuesday night team could get maybe a clean sheet against Borough. They got nothing going for, but this Spurs team, did I pick them to win this year?
I think you might have.
I may have done, right?
I think you might have.
Yeah, I don't think so.
They're not going to win, but I think they did.
Really?
Remember last year saying, like I love the way this is so young last year. And
you praise them. You give them way too much praise.
I'm a big fan of this team. I do give them a lot of praise.
Yeah.
And they're sitting in second place and they keep churning out wins.
They do. Yeah. I mean, what they've done is, you know, build on last year, and they do look the most consistent team after Chelsea. I mean, when you look at the goal difference and you look at the week-by-week results and the way they play the big teams, I mean, they probably are the second-best team. Will they finish second? I don't know. I think
City scares me.
City, I think, has a run at them, especially with Jesus and the way they're starting to play. Yesterday against Swansea was not the most polished performance. The second half was pretty weak, but I still think that City have it in them to kind of make a charge and probably finish second, but Spurs should be right there as well. So, you know, I think if you're looking at it right now, I think the two teams to miss out for me would be Arsenal and Liverpool on the top
you could
four.
Be right. You could be right. And that might be what it takes to get Wenger out of the club. Mm-hmm. Who knows? Everton are playing pretty well once
again. They are playing very well.
6-3 winners. What a game that was, by the way, against Bournemouth.
My God.
Romelu Lukaku, four goals. Wow. I mean, you talk about Chelsea, and if they lose Costa, well, we've got some history there with Lukaku, and it's been rumored for a while. Yeah, going back there, right?
I always think, I think every transfer window Lukaku's going to go. I always think that every transfer window, I'm like, oh, he'll be gone somewhere, and he stays. But it's going to eventually happen, unfortunately, for Everton.
They paid 28 or 30 for him to get him on a full after he was loaned there for what? Was it two seasons he was on loan
there?
Was
it two? I think it was two, yeah. But yeah, they're playing well. Nice goals to that back heel by Barkley to set up. Yeah. I think for his third, wasn't it? I think it was. Wow, what a play that was.
Bournemouth are in some trouble right now.
But, yeah, I look at Bournemouth and I think they're going to be sucked into that drop zone. Well, at least into the relegation race, at least.
Yeah, they can't defend right now. I mean,
6 points to 6 points, though, given who's around them.
Yeah, it'll probably take about only 35 or so to stay up this year, 35, 36. So.
What about Leicester? I mean, we always talk about Man U winning,
trouble.
But Leicester in big trouble. They
huge
look like
trouble.
A team that's beaten. And if you saw Kasper Schmeichel post-match saying, you know, it's embarrassing. You know, it's just not good enough. We need another meeting. We've been doing it all year long, and apparently we're not listening. Because they're abject, just abject.
Yeah.
And at some point, this is going to be a pretty uncomfortable conversation, I think, with Ranieri. Mm. Don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can't pull the trigger. You have to let him walk. And if that means that you go down in the process, you kind of have to let that be. And I do think that the club, in a way, understand that. I think the fans would understand and accept that, but it's a shame to see it kind of all crumble. And you want him to be the solid rock of inspiration and just the Diddly-dong, he's never going to be that guy, is he?
Even last year, he wasn't a solid rock of inspiration. He just...
Sure.
It worked. He caught lightning in a bottle, but...
Look at his career, right? Every time that he's come into a crisis, it's always this calamitous disaster. And that's exactly what
it's
this looks
like.
It's
not your
average crisis. He's tinkering like crazy. Yeah, I know. he's tinkering like crazy. And that can't be good for the squad and their mentalities. And it's not good for him either.
But I said it before, you know, I kind of like it.
Them struggling?
Just makes last year even more miraculous.
More special, yeah.
Jamie Vardy, who scored 24 goals last year, he's got, I think, four this year, three of which came in one game. He looks, again, it's perfect. The movie's perfect, right? Like,
Mahrez,
who is this team?
Is a different guy.
What are they?
Yeah.
You know, last year was a complete and utter fluke.
Yeah.
Has to be, right?
Well, no.
It seemed last year, and I'm taking nothing away from this, they were bang on last year. They were fantastic, but no one ever took them seriously. They'd keep pulling these crazy results out of their hat the same way every week. And like, don't you other teams realize this is a real deal this year? They're actually playing really well.
Yeah.
No one took them seriously until, oh crap, they won.
And it's
they
funny.
They won the championship.
Because if you talk to any ex-footballer or you listen to the pundits on TV in England, none of them wanted to say, yeah, Leicester can do it. Because they all thought Arsenal's got to see this and wake up. Arsenal can see what we're seeing right now. These players know that they're better than this team. They'll wake up and see it. And they never did.
Yeah. What would happen to this team if they went down, though? I mean, they would just get gutted. A lot of players.
Well, not if they win the Champions League and get back in the next year. League championship team playing the Champions League.
They're going to go out to Sevilla.
They wouldn't be elites. If they went down, they would go through, I think, the same process that like Newcastle does.
Yeah, I just don't think that a lot of these players are going to want to stick around. I mean, that's the thing. You just wonder how much it got to their heads.
We thought he'd leave. The fact that they kept these players together, I thought was something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it was miraculous.
But are they happy now?
But apparently they might have lost the most vital one, it seems like, with Conte. So
Imagine if Jamie Vardy had taken Wenger's offer and gone to Arsenal.
If Vardy did that, what is he doing right now?
He's Lucas Perez.
Yeah, right. an even worse version of Lucas Perez.
I think he's on
the bench.
He might be back. So? Yeah, he might be back at Leicester on loan.
If he's playing like this, maybe.
He might be. Yeah.
He won't get in the second team.
Yeah, it's just it's incredible, isn't it?
Right now on form, I mean, you talked about Hull playing well, Swansea are playing well despite that late goal hurting them. I mean,
well, what about Palace in a six-pointer against Sunderland were just abject.
Fell apart.
And they get smacked 4-0 in 45 minutes.
Jermaine Defoe.
Did you hear Big Sam before the match talking about Defoe in his press conference?
No.
It was a little bit uncomfortable.
Oh, really?
He was just fawning.
He's always...
Jermaine Defoe. Yeah. Jermaine Defoe, the things I... he was just loving him.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Did he compliment his physique?
We can't give Jermaine Defoe any touch. Because he'll just score. And you know what? You gave him plenty of touches.
Yeah, sure.
He got
did.
Two goals out of it.
Oh.
Man, Palace were abject. And post-match, the chairman came down apparently into the room and ripped into them.
Yeah.
It's just bad.
Allardyce said that the fear overtook the team. I mean, those are all really, really big warning signs that this team is in a world of hurt. I know the 4-0
£36 million in January. He's our second highest team spending in Europe. In January, behind PSG.
Yeah.
Now, the guys he signed weren't playing.
I don't think anyone saw this coming this season. I thought that they were kind of a mid-table. They'll be okay. And, you know, it just shows you how it can happen. And when it starts to, you know, spiral on you. So they've still got a chance. I mean, they're 2 points out and there's a long way to go. But the way that, you know, teams around them are playing with Hull and Swansea and now, you know, Sunderland getting that big result, it's Palace and Leicester, the two that are in the worst form right now in that bottom five. So that's... big-time alarm bells.
Good for David Moyes, though. I'd like to see David Moyes get a nice result.
Yeah, Sunderland will go on their run in April. And
just escape. So who's going down? So Hull, Swansea, and Leicester are going down, right? Because Palace and Sunderland will... Big Sam, he'll survive. Sunderland will find a way. No?
To me...
Who's going down right now? Tell me.
Palace are going down. Palace are going down because I feel as though they've overachieved the last few seasons. But also, you know, not to compare Big Sam to Pardew, but we think that Palace, we gave Palace too much credit to start the season because they were aggressive in attempting to spend money. They did spend money and they got Benteke. $30 million is a big check to write for a team like that. They made the cup final, the FA Cup final, so we thought, they should be okay. But this team was never going to be any better than a relegation scrap team. Now you bring a Big Sam, and to be honest, I think it was too quick for him to take any job, let alone this job.
I know. I think you're right, but you can't. You have to get back in at some point, right? If you wait too long, especially with that hanging over you, what happened at an England job?
Really? I feel like that's so big.
I think
that you could have taken the year. Nah. And maybe had a better job.
He's a football junkie. He's one of those guys. I think if he's at home too long, things can go bad quickly.
Yeah.
You know? But I feel like this is one. This is a job where it's not like, oh, okay, if you go down, whatever. But if you stay up, it's because of you. I feel like he needs to stay up here, right, for his reputation and get it back.
He can't go down now.
It's. I can make cases for all of them. It's tough, like thinking three of these teams to go down. I can make cases for all of them to stay up.
I mean, no one's talking about Barra, but they're a pretty average team. They can't score goals.
So good defensively. Yeah. Like 27 goals against. That's better than everyone outside of the top seven teams, top six. Even
it's better than Arsenal.
I think that is going to serve them so well. Yeah, they're struggling to score goals, but I mean, I think that will be enough to do it for them. So, and Bournemouth, I know I said
they'll be okay.
I think they'll be okay.
No, Bournemouth.
Yeah, I think Burrow will be all right.
So strong, right?
Tough. Swansea are playing well. I think right now I'd probably go Palace, Swansea, and Leicester, to be honest. I think Hull, I feel like they're going to somehow do it. I just have an odd feeling about them, and Sunderland will go on their run.
I think the Blackcats will go down this year. I think this will be the year they can't pull it off. I think Palace will do just enough. Just looking at their squad, there are some decent players. I know, obviously, they're not playing well, but obviously this weekend they were terrible, but I see them doing enough. I think Hull's going to end up going down.
Yeah.
And it's hard to say because, I mean, Paul Clement's done a nice job at Swansea so far as well.
I know
let's say Leicester, whatever. Leicester, they're going down.
Really? I know they're in the clear right now, and you're probably the lone member of the Sean Dyche Supporters Club, but Burnley got a tough stretch in March.
They
struggle to pick up some points. Yeah.
They'll be okay with their home form. They'll be fine. Well, they only need another 7 or 8 points.
They got Chelsea next at
home. 9 wins at home.
Already. Then they got Hull to end the month. They got Lincoln City in the cup in between that. Then they're away to Swansea, away to Liverpool, away to Sunderland, home to Tottenham.
That's a tough run. It's tough. But, I mean, 29 points, Arya. Like I said, I think it's only going to take 35 or 36. Yeah.
One point.
Yeah, it's
but they, 28 at home. To me, they five just, goals they on the seem road. Like a team that's do first lump and capable of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I just don't think the team, I don't think all the teams below them are good enough to compile like 6-7 more points should be fine. Yeah. 35, 36.
Originally I looked at this table and thought, okay, who's in danger? Like where does this stop? 14, Bournemouth. I don't think Southampton's in danger and they're in 13th, but I look above them and think I could see Burnley getting pulled into that.
Yeah. It's amazing what a couple of results do though. I mean, last week I thought Watford could be in trouble. They were slumping, and then they get back-to-back wins at Arsenal and then home to Burnley. You think, oh, well, they're fine. They got 30 points. They're 10th all of a sudden. So that's how it goes, right?
Juninho7 asks us to just mention the AFCON final, Cameroon.
What a goal to win it. What a goal to win it. I actually threw it on about 20 minutes to go.
Egypt actually lose, so they've only won like what is it, 19 championships now, whatever it is.
Yeah, it was crazy. A great goal for the winner. I mean, took it down, silky touch, and
that Christian Basogo kid, he's come from nowhere. He was playing like lower division in the States 4 years ago or 3 years ago, and he's just 21. He's playing in Denmark right now. Maybe the player of the tournament. Mm. He's gonna be snapped up by someone, isn't he?
Oh, he's been great at Tianjin.
Tianjin,
somewhere in China.
That's Tianjin. I just said it correctly.
Okay.
Yeah. The one that spent the write the checks and spent all the money.
Yeah, but
Fabio Cannavaro's team.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were saying he's been good there.
No.
He'll be good.
He will be.
Gotcha. That makes sense. Yeah.
Come on. You don't win international tournaments and get all the newspaper headlines.
The China thing is going to slow down a little bit, I think. The quotas have been reduced now.
Yeah.
And the government isn't that happy with some of the stupid money being thrown around.
They're not going to be very happy with Odion Ighalo's one goal in 20 games.
Exactly.
Either.
Well, you know what? The season starts in March, and honestly, I think that once they realize they're not getting the bang for the buck with any of these players, it will calm, but I don't think it will stop. You're still going to get players who have their heads turned. You're still going to get agents who could get a club to write a £300,000 a week check. I mean, you look at Witzel, for example. Yeah. Witzel is in his prime, I think, or perhaps just past it, and he's on 325, and that's the low end.
I know, but I'm saying the government have actually voiced their concerns about it. And they own the league,
The restriction on they used to be able to have four players in the side.
Yeah, now it's three.
Yeah. And there's a stress on the under-23 players. I think they need two. under-23 Chinese players in the starting 11.
Yeah, the whole point of this whole concept is to improve Chinese soccer.
Right, yeah.
And that's what the government is saying. This is a long-term project. We want to improve Chinese soccer. We want to host a World Cup and compete in a World Cup. And by doing that, you need to obviously improve the grassroots level, not just sign all these multi-billion dollar players, you know, it's at the end of their careers.
It's going to go old school NASL, though, isn't it?
Maybe. Yeah.
Don't you look at it and think it has to in 5 years?
Go up.
I hope it fails.
Does Lance have to censor that?
I don't know. There's probably a few things in today's podcast Lance should censor, but you know what? No one's listening.
We didn't talk about your Snapchat profile, so I don't think you can censor anything.
Snapchat profile.
All those big pics.
All right, listen, we're out of time. Bits and bobs, anything we want to get to?
Now, we already talked about the Super Bowl, but great recommendation on Columbia there, punters. Had a great time. Yeah, it
awesome,
was a
man. I was
lovely
jealous.
Place.
I just hate you a little more looking at your Instagram.
Yeah.
Here's something which is complete bull. So my favorite band of all time, Queen, are touring this summer, right? I bought tickets last week. Good tickets, expensive tickets, great. 18th of July. Looking forward to it. It's going to be amazing. This morning, come down, look at my feed. Muse, another one of my favorite all-time bands, a band that's considered the modern-day Queen, very similar fan bases, great stage playing in Toronto. The same freaking night as Queen.
Same day.
The same night.
What a bunch of idiots.
What are you thinking, people? What do I do?
Clearly,
well, I know I watch Queen, but I'm going to miss out on Muse, who I've seen before a few times, thankfully. But I'm not happy about that. I'm very upset.
Can you take the little one to see Queen now?
I thought about it. This is going to be a special day for me. It's my first time seeing Queen, even though I understand.
It's not really Queen.
It's not Freddie, but it's the closest I'll get to it.
Yeah.
And it's the only time I see Brian May and Roger Taylor on stage at the same time. So it's going to be a special moment. I will probably weep. So this isn't the time to bring the little one to see Queen. She will one day see Queen. She loves
Just
Queen.
Just need to see Daddy weeping.
No. Yeah. So wait. She sees him weep all the time.
Yeah.
But usually it's negative weeping.
Yeah.
This will be positive weeping.
It's going to be positive, yeah.
We'll wait until the Leafs win the cup. Then she can see you cry. You
know, that'll be positive weeping.
Come June, right? That'll be it. On the music theme, quick thing. In listening to all the Super Bowl week lead up and them trying to fill content, Dan Le Batard had Kenny G on his radio show. And Kenny G, we all know for the jazz music, he's the easy joke, right? Oh, Kenny G music, elevator music, whatever. But have you ever heard Kenny G speak?
No.
No.
Can't say I have.
But he is hilarious, like a fantastic personality. Mm-hmm. He's playing the sax while they're asking questions. And they had him on every day all week, and he was hilarious.
So really?
I Kenny might just G, go out comedian. And buy his album.
All really? Right.
Kenny G. Yeah.
Really?
Problem is, his comedy tour stops the same night as Queen and Muse in Toronto.
Typical. Typical.
Same fan base.
Florence and the Machine.
Going to see Kenny G.
Same night. Yeah.
Same. God. Same What's night as Louis on? C.K.
Is he coming to Toronto? I hope he is.
Louis C.K. was just here.
Was he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Damn it. Yeah. Why didn't I know these things?
It was like last week. Yeah,
really?
2 weeks ago,
did you go? You weren't here?
No.
I like Louis C.K.
We should have a podcast outing that something's other than just beers and listening to Sid complain.
We should.
Speaking of, I got to go do that.
Oh, yeah,
and get to work.
Someone said, tonight, today, what time is it? Five?
Five, yeah.
All right, you know. It was this.
All
right.
Yeah.
All right. Hey. That's the Soccer Central podcast. I think I'll be back on Thursday with Molinaro talking about soccer and stuff, I guess. Dunlop, Dobby, thank you very much. Lance, behind the glass. We apologize. And we apologize to you as well for wasting the last 45 minutes of your lives.